prayers as we come before you at this time, and pray the Lord will bless our thoughts and things that we might be able to share with you. First of all, to his glory and to our learning and giving us opportunity to worship and praise him. You know, in the in the scriptures, they being the written, revealed word of God, they are the primary source by which we learn about God. Of course, creation manifests him in so many ways. But that's the picture version. You know, this is the word version. You know, this is the written version. And of course, the two, they don't contradict one another. You know, that's one reason, you know, that there's, you know, people have coined the phrase theistic evolution. Well, that's, you know, that's a misnomer. There's no such thing. You know, it's either one or the other. It can't be both. Yes, God can and does use processes. You know, and he could take as long as he wanted to bring something about. But that doesn't mean that it qualifies to be defined as evolution. But so we have the scriptures then, and God teaches us from the scriptures, you know, many different ways. He's the master teacher. Very, very aptly, when Jesus Christ was here upon the shores of time, you know, at least a couple of occasions, he was referred to as rabbi, which means teacher or master. And of course, he spent the majority of his waking hours teaching. You know, we have all the parables that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the ways, of course, that this we mentioned that God teaches us is through word pictures. You know, not just, you know, and I'm for one, I'm so thankful for that. You know, just having to learn something, you know, and just sit down and, you know, repeat it over and over, and you know, that kind of gets difficult for me. And always has been. But if I can associate what I'm learning, you know, if I can get a picture of it in my mind, or if I can, you know, figure out some way that it makes sense, you know, which knowledge, by the way, will always make sense. You know, even, you know, it's even the things of God that we may not understand, that doesn't mean they don't make sense. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense, you know. It makes sense to God, and a lot of things of God may not make any, I may not understand it, but somebody else does, you know. That's the reason we have the preaching of the gospel, and that's one reason preachers need preaching too as well, you know. We need our body of understanding expanded also. One of the ways that the scriptures teach us about the Lord and his character, shall I say, is, if you'll think about it, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, think with me for just a few minutes about that word created. Well, yes, God spoke, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, let me interject this also to make my point. I don't think it's accidental that Joseph, who was the father of Jesus, as was supposed, was a carpenter. Okay, he was a carpenter. Jesus was called the carpenter's son. Well, Of course, Joseph was not Jesus' father. But Jesus' father was a carpenter. See, the greatest architect that's ever existed. You know, he's referred to as the architect of creation. And of course he is. And one thing that I like to think about in creation is that, you know, God could have used millions of years to have created, but he didn't. But in creation, God had an order to what he did. And in creation, he put order in it. That, by the way, tells us a lot about God. I believe he's orderly. Yes, he's a spirit, you know, and spirits are invisible to the human eye unless and until they're revealed to us where we can see them. But something that's a spirit, just because it's a spirit doesn't mean that it's not orderly. That it in its realm, in of course we all have a spirit and soul, and they're orderly. They're not just like, we're not like, many times the soul and the spirit and you know, the departing thereof are reckoned or the figures like, you know, vapors of smoke and, you know, et cetera. But that's just a way of expressing one characteristic of the spirit. That doesn't mean that that's everything that the spirit is. So just stay with me. So God in revealing unto us more about him, one of the ways that he lets us know somewhat about who he is as God is in revealing himself to us as creator, as a carpenter, as a builder. You know, the Apostle Paul called himself, he said, I'm a wise master builder. And he said God had blessed him to lay the foundation. But he said, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what was the Apostle Paul saying? Paul was saying, I'm a wise master builder. But actually, the thought occurred to me today. I guess that's one reason I'm thinking about this. But in the process of our, you know, getting settled in the home, we bought some pieces of furniture that had to be assembled. Well, we didn't make those pieces. You know, somebody did. We did. But we had to assemble them. We had to put them together. And maybe not a very wise master builder, but we got them together. Well, Paul says, you know, the Lord's blessed him to be a wise master builder. He says, God's blessed me to be able to take what he's given me and to put things together. Isaiah, I believe it is, puts it this way, and I'm going to interpolate that over to Paul, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And that's the way that God has from the very beginning began to reveal himself to us. As creator, as architect, you know, as a builder. Well, we could go in a lot of places in the scriptures, but because of the time, let's think about the fact that whenever God began to set up the kingdom of Israel, you know, he of course brought them out of the land of Egypt and over into the wilderness, and they were headed, you know, for the promised land, for the land of Canaan. Well, of course, that generation of people and all, we know their experience and the things that they did, which prevented them, of course, from being able to enter into the land of Canaan. But before they entered into the land of Canaan, we know that God took Moses up into the mount. And while Moses was up in the mount, God, you know, for 40 days and 40 nights, he gave him instructions concerning the law. Now, to further, you know, think along the lines that I'm thinking about, the law itself, you know, is a pattern of things to come. And the law was a pattern, but the law was not only a pattern for things to come, but the law was a pattern for things for the Israelites to do. And God made it very clear. And he repeated himself clearly many times. Said, I've given you this law. And one of the most important things about the law is that you are to follow it the way that I've laid it out. You know, he gave Moses the dimensions of and the material to use, et cetera, to build the tabernacle and all the furniture in it. And he didn't say to Moses, here's what I want you to do. First of all, he didn't say, Moses, what do you think about a tabernacle? No. Second of all, he didn't say, okay, Moses, now I want the children of Israel to worship me in a tabernacle. And it really doesn't matter, just as long as it's a tabernacle. No. He gave specific instructions. Now, admittedly, you read in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and a lot of that's for us in our day and age, unless you really dig into it. It's a little, some of it can, just exactly where does that piece fit? Just exactly what is that supposed to look like? But God gave, either whether I understand it or not, God understood it, and apparently Moses understood it, and apparently the children of Israel understood it, because we read that at some point in time, after those instructions were given to Moses, and he came down from the mount, and so forth. And of course, all the story about the children of Israel were already builders, but they, it was a strange thing about their building. You remember what Aaron did, what Aaron told Moses concerning the golden calf? Well, they just brought all that stuff to me, and we put it in the fire, and there's a calf. It's a thousand wonders to me if God hadn't said, Aaron, lay down and die. You know better than that. And especially since in the writing, in the book itself, we're told, what Aaron did and how, he fashioned. In fact, the word is there. He fashioned it and made it a calf. And then he turned around and lied to Moses about it. Sometimes some of the things we build, we may feel like Aaron did. we just kind of throw it together. There's what come out. But sometimes we kind of live our lives that way. We just kind of throw this event together, and we do a little bit of this commandment, a little bit of that we're all, and just, whatever comes out, the problem with that, that's a good point. The problem with doing things like that, you'll get an idol every time. You get an idol every time. Because see, the Lord doesn't build idols. He doesn't fashion idols. You turn the building over to him, and he'll make it a building as it pleases him. And he'll make it a place of beauty, a place of glory, and so forth. Moses was given all those instructions. Detailed instructions, and And that was the way that the children of Israel were to worship him, and the only acceptable worship that God looked upon for, you know, until the time and the days of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's all a story within itself. Of course, first of all, they built the tabernacle. And then in Solomon's days, you know, God blessed Solomon, to build the temple. And of course, when Jesus Christ came, he gave us a very unique building, didn't he? You know, the Israelites had a building that you could see with your eyes, that you could touch with your hand. You know, in fact, you know, even it had some very unique qualities to it. You think about the temple that God blessed Solomon to build. It tells us that at the building site, you couldn't hear. You know, there weren't any hammer. You didn't hear the hammering or the chiseling, because all the preparatory work took place in the quarries. And those stones were brought, and each one fit into place just like it was supposed to. I think that those people could have earned the title of master craftsman. But of course, when God's in the building, everything is going to fit together. You know, when God builds it, you can expect it to fit together. Well, Jesus Christ, of course, comes along, and he brings an end to all of that. In fact, even the temple, you know, he told those Pharisees, as you remember, his disciples, excuse me, on that occasion where they were just bragging up the temple, you know, man, this, I mean, I can just see them now walking around that edifice and just showing the Lord all the stones and I mean, they were proud of that thing. Jesus Christ said, 3 days, going to bring it down. Of course, he was talking about the temple of this body, but he was talking about that natural temple too. You know, it did get destroyed, never to be built again. And of course, he said, you know, not one stone shall be left upon another stone. And when the armies of the Romans came through and they destroyed it. I mean, they destroyed it. Well, you know, kind of leading up to a point here as we, getting close to needing to call this, work towards a closing place. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, we find him speaking this way: "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." So the first stone of this building the Apostle Peter is talking about is a living stone. This living stone is of course referring to Jesus Christ. He was the rock. He was the stone which the builders rejected. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. But really what I want to go to now is verse 5. He says, "Ye also, as lively stones." And the word "lively" there, the definition of it means living. "Ye as living stones." And that's a, let's see, what's the word for that? That's an oxymoron. Never seen a living, you've never seen a living stone. You know, I hope you don't ever see a living stone. Now, I've met some Livingstons, but never a living stone. But the Apostle Peter, of course, says, ye also. And by the way, ye, it's not you also. It's not you all also. It's ye also. Ye is in that tense in the Greek, which is referring to the group as a whole. But the message is applied to each one individually within the group, you know. It's a message to us as a group, but none of us can hide in the group. You know, it applies to all of us. Ye also as lively or living stones. That means that every one of us individually and collectively are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. This is not an underground house. And even if it was, you'd dig down and build up. You know, I remember as a boy, you know, hearing some preacher sometime or other, you know, talking about the same subject somehow or another, and he brought, I don't remember just how he said it, but in my mind, you know, he said something about you can't build, or everybody knows you don't start building a house with the roof. You don't start at the roof and build down. You start at the foundation and build up. And I thought that was so funny. But he's right. You know, you don't start that way as far as building the house. Now, you may go off over here and manufacture the roof, but you're not building the house. You're just getting the roof ready for the house, you know. And, of course, we know how that works nowadays with pre-manufactured homes. You know, they'll build all the parts in a warehouse, and then they bring them out here, and they put them up. But the point is, you are built up a spiritual house. You know, when the Lord builds, he always builds up. You know, now he can tear down, of course, but when he's building up. And we, Peter says, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. This is a special kind of house. Which, you know, the point I want to say now is that, you know, every building that God has ever built has been a special project. What was the first building that God ever built? Built with his own hands. It was Adam's body. Fashioned it. Made it a body. Think about next time you read Genesis chapter 3, the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3. Always remember that God said, God spoke, God said, let there be light, let the dry land appear, He created, you know, the stars. He spoke all those things into existence. But when it came to man, he didn't speak. He fashioned him a body. He took of the dust of the ground, fashioned him a body. And he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. The architect of the universe designed Adam's body, you know. And the body that God designed that lasts till this day, even though it's now a sinful body, is as much an expression of who God is as the universe is. It's just as wonderful. You know, while we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can get just as excited about reading about the marvel of this body, what scientists tell us, what doctors will tell us, et cetera, about how this body works, as you can about galaxies and dark stars and meteorites and all those kinds of things. One is just as grandiose as the other because they both got the same creator. So ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. I close with this thought tonight. Everything that God ever built or ever will build, he did it for a purpose. He did it for a purpose. He had a use for it. He had a purpose for it. He had a place for it. And the same is true of you and I. You know, the creation of man, the election, the predestination, the bringing to pass the existence of his children, of his people, was not an accident. It was by plan. It was by purpose. And he's the architect of it. He's, you know, he had a reason for doing it, and he's carrying out that reason today, even today. You know, we live our lives, and you know, we're thankful unto the Lord. We think about him. We pray to him. We're here tonight to learn about him, to worship him, sing praises unto him, and so forth. But at the end of the day, we know that what we know is very limited. But what we can know, isn't it astounding to think about what we do know? And to think about that he made the stars, and they're still finding stars. He made this world. They're still learning things about this world. About the time they think they're smart enough and figure it all out, God says, well, let me show you this, etc. And that same God made you and I. And not just haphazardly. He designed it. And he built it from his design. Well, I said I was going to close with that. I got one other thing. I have to close with this. Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, etc. God not only built a place for you to live here, but he's built a place for us to live over there. Now, those mansions, that word mansions, you probably heard me say this before, it just simply means abodes. Whatever it is, it's going to be out of this world. I mean, it's going to be the best it can possibly be. And it's, you know, it's going to be the costliest. It's going to be the best design. It's going to be out of material that will last forever. It's a mansion. I mean, what word are you going to use to describe what God has built for us and what he's prepared for us? So God's a builder. He's a builder. He's a creator. When I build, I have to go buy what I build with, my material. God creates his material that he builds with. Got to stop somewhere, so let's stop there. And sing and close the service tonight. And may God bless us to go home thinking about that God's a builder. Jesus Christ wasn't the son of a carpenter, but I don't think by accident. It's just to remind us that his real father is the real carpenter, the master builder. everything that he builds, I especially like that part, everything he builds is going to last forever. And he doesn't have to treat it with anything to keep it, you know, from spoiling or anything like that, you know. Yellow wood doesn't, you know, won't stand the, you know, he doesn't have to have yellow wood. You know, in fact, I think he builds with stones. Peter said, ye are lively stones. He built the temple with stones. So, well, how about 356? How fearfully, how wondrously our Lord has made us here. How fearfully, how wondrously we are so finely wrought, designed for health and peace and love, best jewels ever sought. Great mystery, God's treasure is in earthen vessels cast, to nurture, teach, guide, and refine, and bring us home at last. Whatever God builds always has the best value to it. And it always holds its value. You know, just like he made it. You don't have to worry about the inflation with God. You don't have to worry about deflation with God. Because he makes it just like it ought to be. 356. How fearfully, how wondrously our Lord has made us here. Within our
so.